I'd like to invite you this morning to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 4, verse 1, Psalm 4, verse 1.
Psalm 4, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you once again for the privilege of assembling, Lord, being able to assemble as your body of believers here at Northwood Baptist Church. Lord, also for the truth that we understand that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you for your presence this morning. We do ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and minds and to guide us, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, that you might be honored and glorified and our lives enhanced and strengthened by your grace to be the witnesses you've called us to be and to experience your blessings and your promises in our lives. Bless your word, bless your people, and we'll praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we consider our text, the title of the message is simply, "Hear me when I call, O God." Hear me when I call, O God. That's an important thing. David wants us really to understand, and the Lord, more importantly, wants us to understand that David had a desire to meet with God and for God to hear him. It's a good thing when we talk to somebody that they hear us, right? Have you ever been in that kind of situation where you're talking to somebody and you know they're not hearing one word you're saying? Amen? Don't you love that? You feel like, why am I even talking? And it's a good thing to know that that's not the way the Lord looks at us. When we have something to say to him, he has a great interest in listening to us. Isn't that amazing? How do we know that God has a great interest in listening to us? He gave us his son. He's the one that opened up that relationship or the opportunity for that relationship for us to commune with him. He's the one that says, you know what, I want to have fellowship. I want to have a relationship with you. And Lord willing, when we want to have a relationship with people, we want to hear what they have to say. We care about them. And then as a relation grows, we grow to love people. But here's an amazing thing. God loved us even before we trusted him as our own Savior. You ever remember growing up and you make different friendships and you enjoy some and you know, you just think about, boy, I'd like to have them for a friend. And then they open up and they reciprocate that friendship and a good friendship develops. Well, more important than that is our relationship with the Lord. And so God really wants us to hear him, but he also wants to hear us. And that is a good, healthy relationship with our God when we're reciprocating like that. Now, we can cause the Lord he hears us, but he's not going to move on what we're doing or what we're asking him if we don't deal with sin. In other words, how do we deal with sin? Well, we confess it before the Lord and we ask him to forgive us and he restores us. And that's his way of doing things. So this morning, we want to look at three truths that will help if we heed to them or hinder if we neglect them or disregard them concerning our communication or relationship with the Lord. And the first thought is the God of my righteousness. And we'll look at that here in just a moment. And then God's glory disregarded. We can disregard the glory of God and we miss out. And that's really where it all ends when we disregard the Lord. And then the work of God's sanctification. So I want to consider the first thought that David brings out, and that is that he notices and knows that God is the God of his righteousness. Look at verse 1 again. It says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness." Boy, if the lost world would just look into the heart of a believer, specifically a man after God's own heart. Because when you tell people about the Lord, I don't know if you've ever experienced this or not, some might say, well, what makes you think you're right? Are you holier than thou? Are you more righteous than me? Oh, listen, if they would understand and hear the message of God, we have no righteousness. God is the God of our righteousness. We have no righteousness, and that's why we need the Lord. So there's a believer should never think, well, I am more righteous than another person, a lost person. We have no righteousness of our own. The only righteousness that we have is what God has given to us. God never is impressed And it's wrong for the believer to think, well, because I do these things, there's nothing we can do. Even as a saved child of God, if we're dependent upon our own righteousness, there still is filthy rags. But God has given to us His righteousness and His power to have the righteousness of God flourish in our lives. And so David is making a point to that, because where does it all begin? Where does the righteousness of God begin in the life of an individual? It begins at salvation. So because we recognize and see that we have no righteousness of our own and that we are truly lost and undone. And here's the truth. We can't even see that without God's help. And it's God's help that brings us to the place of humility. So in other words, listen, when somebody witnessed to me when I was 21 years old, I knew that God was holier than I was. I believed that God was perfect. I didn't really understand what that meant. But I really didn't think I was that bad. All right? See, I didn't kill anybody. And I didn't do anything bad that society would consider to be wrong. I mean, after all, everybody messes up, right? Well, that was my excuse. Well, that was an evidence to me that God requires perfection and I'm flawed. I don't have perfection, and so God had to bring me to the understanding, as He has to do it for all of us, that, listen, all of our imperfections condemn us and reveal that there is a problem and there is a division in our relationship with the Lord. But then He also illuminates to our understanding that God gave us His Son to pay for all of our sins. Isn't that true? All of our sins. And we should never look to ourselves ever for our righteousness before the Lord. I have none. We have none. Mankind has nothing. And that is what keeps people from entering into a relationship with the Lord. And what's that called? Pride. That is pride. If you think you've got something to impress God with, you've missed the Lord. You're not hearing God at all. Listen, it's not Jesus plus your good works ever. It's Christ alone, or you'll never experience it. And there are a lot of people that will amaze you that they're still in the recesses of their, they may not even know they're thinking it or saying it, but they've got to know in the recesses of their hearts and minds, maybe not, that they're not looking solely to the finished work of the cross. Some people say, well, you know, I got to be saved. I got to trust Jesus, but I've got to do good works. Where do you find that in the Word of God? Now, good works will be a result of a healthy relationship with the Lord, because that will be the power of God moving through the believer. We don't get baptized because we need that for salvation. We get baptized because we've entered into that relationship. So it all begins with salvation and God's righteousness entered into our lives. That's where it all begins or ends. It can end there when we say, no, I hear what you're saying. That's not what I'm saying, by the way. It's what God has said. There's nothing that you and I can do. It's all in Christ or not at all. And that is the first experience that we have that God brings us into. I wasn't even looking for God. I don't know if you were. I started to look for Him when God got my attention. But I did not look for Him until He let me see that there was something missing in my life. And by the way, I want you to know what the world thinks. Ready? I'm okay. I am okay. Hey, listen, I'm happy. When that fellow witnessed to me the first time when I was training him, man, I was moving up in my company. Things were going good for me. I don't need your religion. I'm okay. I'm happy. Listen, I'm moving forward. I'm making money. I'm being promoted. Things are looking good for me. I'm enjoying my work. I don't need what you got to give me. Well, what I didn't realize is it wasn't what He had to give me. It was what God had to give me, and He had to bring me around to the Lord. Had to bring me around to saying, wait a minute. I'm going to stand before, I didn't even realize, I don't know if I understood that. I'm going to stand before God one day. Oh, I knew I was going to die one day, but I'm going to give an account for my life. And He had to bring it to my attention that not one good thing will gain me favor with God. I didn't understand that. Listen, Sure, yes, God's righteousness, I understand that. But by the way, have I happened to tell you the things that I've done? The good things that I do? God had to take that away from me. God had to show me that nothing. And why are you repeating this, Brother George? Because I had a hard time grasping that. In fact, I needed God to open up my eyes to see myself. Listen, not as I saw myself. You know how I saw myself? I'm a good person. Am I a sinner? Oh, yes, but I'm a good person. Listen, do you know what I do? I do some crazy things. I do. And by the way, listen, I try to help people. And I don't even look to hurt people. I'm a good person. And God said, oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. You are lost and undone and sinful. And God can't have anything with me unless I'm redeemed. God had to bring me to that full understanding. And then I'm telling you, it happened instantaneously. I saw myself like never before. And the next thing out of my mouth was, Jesus, save me. That was the next thing out of my mouth. I knew in my mind I was going to split hell wide open. And I couldn't have never, listen, I would have never seen that had it not been for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I understood the conviction of the Holy Spirit like never before. This is important because the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power unto salvation. There is no other way. And God got a hold of my heart like he has to get a hold of all of our hearts, or we're going to fool ourselves. For 3 years, from when I was 21 to 24, I really, and maybe all of my life, really all of my life, I was not a bad person, I thought. But I didn't see myself the way God saw me. Man, I tell you what, you remember Leave It to Beaver? I don't like to really use TV illustrations, right?
Tell him your age.
61, brother. That seems hard to believe. But anyway, you remember Eddie Haskell? I was not Eddie Haskell. You know who I was? They didn't even have my character. I was better than Wally and Beaver. Amen? I was better than June and Ward. That was their names, wasn't it? Anyway, I was better than all of them. No, I wasn't. But in my own mind, you know, it's that proverbial scale, right? That proverbial scale that doesn't exist, it's only in our own minds. Well, God's, everybody that pulls that scale out, you know what they think at the end? It's going to tip in their favor. What a horrible, horrible way to live. God wants us to know that when God's blood is applied, you have everything you will ever need. Amen? As far as your entrance into eternal life, you don't have to worry about, you can just throw that scale away because God doesn't even see that scale. The only thing God sees is the blood of his son, whether or not it has been completely, not partially, doesn't work partially. Yes, Lord, your blood, son, yes, is so important, but you lost him. You lost the Lord on that one. Add whatever you want. God says, you don't have it then. You won't have it. And how will you have it? God has to bring you to the place to say, oh my goodness, I had it all wrong. I was wrong. I'm speaking for myself. I can't speak for you. I was wrong about God. I thought I was right. See, mankind to himself, he's pretty smart. And he'll get himself in all kinds of trouble with that smartness, amen, with that wisdom without God. So it all begins with the righteousness, with God, the God of my righteousness, or I have none. The only righteousness I have is in the Lord. Now notice this, God's glory disregarded in verse 2. This is where it all ends. It begins in verse 1. All of the blessings of God in verse 1, if God is the God of our righteousness. But notice this in verse 2, here's where it all ends. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn, listen to this, my glory into shame? Well, how can we do that? Well, we can. If we say that the blood of Christ was not enough, that's the glory of God. His perfect sacrifice, his son. Lord, listen. Did the Father glorify the Son? Absolutely he did. That is the glory of God. Now, here's the crazy thing. Listen, because we're in Christ, and if you're saved, you're in Christ and Christ in us. We become part of the bride of Christ, the church, right? And then we become, now he says, you're my glory because the Son's in us. Not because of us, but because the Son is in us. But notice this verse 2. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity? You know what vanity is, right? Look at me. Man, what a fine specimen. You can laugh because I'm 61, amen. But when I was younger, I thought, man, I'm a pretty good athlete. I could do that. I can't do half of anything I ever did in my life. Man, whatever I had wasn't professional stuff, right? But man, amongst a bunch of old teenagers or whatever you want to call them, I'm not too bad. But that's vanity. Before the Lord, I was lost and undone. I had nothing to give him and nothing to glory about. But he says, oh, ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? And that word leasing is a deceptive thing. That's what it is. It's a lie. It's a lie. Does God lie? What does God think about? He hates lying. He hates it. How about you? Do you hate lying? Do you like to be deceived? Would you like to be deceived into doing the right thing? Would you like that? No, I don't even like that. Be upfront with me. Amen? Don't you want people to be upfront with you? You don't want this kind of work you around and that's what salespeople do, right? Salespeople try to get you, and I'm not saying all salespeople. Let me just qualify that. But the crooked car salesman, not all car salesmen are crooked. But all crooked salesmen are crooked, amen. You know, this is the one where I got to leave, right? This is the one where I got to leave. This is the deal I'm going to give you, and it's right now, and it's gone tomorrow. Bye. You insulted my intelligence. What's going to change from today to tomorrow? Your pressure. That's all. It's all it is. Your pressure. You tell. Oh, somebody else might snatch it from underneath you. Sell it to them. Amen. I don't want it. I've learned a long time ago. I don't want to buy anything under pressure. Here's what I've learned in my short life. Really, everything I've ever done under pressure. Rarely, I can't remember a time that it's ever turned out well. It's never turned out. They say, like, if you're under a lot of pressure and you got to make a decision, that is a wrong time to make a choice. It's better when you're cool, calm, and collective and have peace about it as a Christian, knowing that the Lord is with you on that. All right? So there's no pressure. Nobody wants to be deceived into doing anything. And that's what's going on here. He says, listen, they seek after leasing. People, what do they say? There are fools born every moment, you know, that buy. That's why they're still crooked salespeople. There are people that receive a phone call and give their credit card information out because they scared them. Something was done. And listen, some of them are really good. So because they're so good, I don't answer them. Right? I'm telling my wife. See, that's why she's laughing. You don't know who it could be. I don't know that number. Click. I don't know that number. It could be a church. It could be a church member. I have every one of you. If I don't have your number, you need to tell me. Every one of you is in my phone book. If I don't see your name come up, click. And by the way, I used to answer them. When it was a 573 area code, because that's our area code, and it may be somebody new that I don't have in my phone. Right. But now I go click 573, click. You know why? Because it's just the way it is. Too many foreign people have a 573. What do I mean by that? They're calling me from India. They do something now to where they change their number to my local number. I don't know. And then, boy, Sally, they tell me, Sally, we got a deal for you. They've been telling me that since I got this new phone number. Why don't you answer? Because I don't want them to know that it's not Sally anymore. Because as soon as I see Sally, click, it's not me. But listen, whether the salesperson, and that's who they are, they seek after leasing. Do you think God is pleased with all of those fraudulent people that call people and steal their money? And here's how, when you steal from somebody, you have stolen a part of their life they will never get back. Because time is money in that regard, in the sense of you've given part of your time to earn that money. You don't get that part of your life back if it's robbed. I think that's why God hates stealing. Thou shalt not
steal.
All right, last thought. Ready? The work of God's sanctification. Look at verse 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is what? You know what that means? It's not that they are godly. It's that they have yield themselves to the work of God in their life. And God makes us godly. Amen? It's the work of God. This is the last part here is the work of God's sanctification. And this is where a personal experience with God grows, right? We begin a spiritual experience with the Lord in salvation. But God did not just save us to leave us right there and just to give us eternal life. Some people experience that, unfortunately, because they don't know that God wants to sanctify us. We don't sanctify ourselves. God does that work. God begins to reveal and show us things. Listen, did Peter sanctify himself? Did he get it? Did he make himself right? God had to make him right, didn't he? God had to do work in him and turn his heart. But he broke him before he fixed him. And he broke Peter of his own self-assurance, and so he does the same with you and me likewise. See, because Peter loved the Lord, he was going to, though all forsake you, Lord, not me. Oh, listen, that smelled of pride and God could see it. Peter couldn't see it. He was so filled up with pride that listen, whom seek ye? Remember when they came out in the garden after the Lord? Whom seek ye in the Gospel of John? And Judas was with them there, and they had all the soldiers and all the Jewish religious people that were there. And they said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. Listen, he said, listen, I'm he. If that's, listen, let these go. I'm he. You know what happened to them? Do you remember? They all fell backward. And do you know what they did? They got back up again and the Lord said, who are you looking for? They had the gumption to tell them again who they're looking for. That's their pride. Listen, if I'm asking for somebody and I can't help myself and I'm on the ground, goodbye. There's something wrong here, but they just, in their pride, they just pushed forward because they were at enmity. They were so dead set against God. They were knocking all the roadblocks to their path toward hell. They were throwing them all by the sideline there, and they're saying, "Man, get out of my way! I'm going straight against God." But not so with the one that says, I'm going to yield to the Lord. I'm going to believe him. So notice, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. You know what David is saying? I've got a personal relationship with the Lord that when I call, he hears me. And by the way, when you know God is hearing you, do you think that's going to encourage your prayer life? Oh yeah, absolutely. You know what the problem is? A lot of times if we're not careful, we're not asking for God to do his work of sanctification in our lives. We're asking, well, God, I need this. God, I'm wanting you to do this. I'm wanting you to do that. How about what God wants to do in and through us? How about his glory? How about his glory? How about, Lord, you give me the power that you've promised that will make me holy. That's what it means to be sanctified and holy, set apart for the Lord, that I might see your work of grace. In other words, when certain things don't go right in my life, your peace is still there. Your grace is still there. That's something we have to seek after. That's something that we have to say, Lord, I want you to do that in my life. That's what we call, the Bible calls, a good relationship with our God. Amen. Not just a bunch of head knowledge, but doctrine that changes our life. There's nothing wrong with good doctrine, unless it's just head knowledge. You can have good doctrine that you've not saying, okay, I want that in my life, Lord. And we have to ask God. We can't just say, I want that in my life and make it happen. You'll never make it happen. How do you know, Brother George? Because I've heard many good doctrines in my salvation. I'm going to put that in my life. I'm going to put that in my life. Guess what? I never got a single one of them. And listen, I think, I might be wrong in this, but I'll just say, I think God made sure. Well, there was no strength in me to perform those doctrines. I thought there was, but that's because I was looking to myself and not the Lord. It has to be all of Him, or it won't happen at all. But He says, I want you to know, I will hear you. And by the way, do you think David was just saying that, or do you think he knew the Lord heard him? He did. He watched the Lord perform. You remember at Ziklag, Lord, shall I overtake them? Shall I pursue? Yep, pursue, and you'll recover all. And guess what David did? He pursued. Did he recover all? Do you think he could say, man, did you see? Look, I still got it. He never had it in the first place. When he was a teenager facing Goliath, he said, the God of Israel. And he had opportunity to worship the Lord. You remember what the children of Belial said? Oh, those older folks that couldn't come with us, they get what we get when they collected all the spoils. David corrected them in a big hurry because he said, they're going to part the same as we did. Amen. That's the ones that stayed by the stuff. That's how God's grace works. But they were self-righteous. Well, they didn't do what we did. Well, guess what? You wouldn't have done it if God wasn't with you. But see, the children of the devil, they can't see that. Does the Lord bless and rain on the just and the unjust? Does He bless both? But the lost world doesn't know that. By my own hand, I've got what I got. Oh, baloney. Who brought you into existence? Listen, I want you to know, I could not convince a single one of them. Listen clearly on this. I could not convince a single person that has accomplished anything that is lost that God did that for them. You know why? Pride. Pride. It takes God to break our pride. You mean, listen, I studied and I worked hard and I did and I. They got an eye problem. And they will never get that resolved until God breaks them as He had to break me. Hey, listen, even in salvation, after salvation, we could look at the doctrine and the promises of God, and we could just coast along and say, I can't do that, I can't do that. God's not waiting for us to do it. God's waiting for us to call upon the Lord to do it in and through us, that we might see the glory of God, and that brings us to the place of worship. I'm telling you, listen, am I wrong in this? Do you think I can convince people who've accomplished things in this world that don't know the Lord that God did that for them? Would they not look at me like I'm crazy? I would have. As a lost person, I'd say, what? You know how many hours I put in? You've got to be out of your mind. No, I was out of mine. I just didn't know it. I could not see God. You know what it took? Listen, you know what it took for me to see God? God. You know what it takes for you and I as saved children to see God? Same thing. God. Look at verse 4. Because the Lord heard him. Because, listen to this. Ready? Look at verse 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. And then he says this, ready? Stand in awe. Do you think David ever stood in awe and really said, how great thou art? When God delivered him from the lion and the bear, do you think he said, "Oh, how great my God is"? When God delivered Goliath into his hand, how great. When God brought him onto the throne, because he thought it wasn't going to happen a couple of times, didn't he? And then, do you think he realized the fulfillment of God's... Listen, do you think David realized the fulfillment and purpose that God had created him for? And he wasn't perfect. May every believer experience and come to the fruition of realizing the purpose that God created you and me for. He did not create us for ourselves. I promise you that. But if we find the purpose of God's creation for us, we will find fulfillment and contentment like we can't in no other way. Then he says, stand in awe and sin not. God's work. We can't stop ourselves from sinning, but God can. God could bring us, God can work, and by the way, not sinless perfection, but where we don't fall, where we can overcome the sins that easily beset us by the grace of God. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that. I want to see God do that more in my life. See? It's like when God shows you how to do something. I'm not a golfer, okay? I have nothing against golf. I just can't swing that club the right way, right? But I watch these little videos. I don't know anything about them. But I watch these pros telling these people that slice the ball. I guess you want it to go straight. You don't want to go off. That shows you what little I know. But anyway, they tell, turn the hand, do this. And all of a sudden they swing and that ball goes, whoo! And they look at their coach and they say, wow, right? And it was just a little tuning. And then all of them said, I hit the perfect ball, I quit. I don't ever want to do that again. Is that what you think they did? Or do you think they said, let me do that again? Do you know what happens when God shows his glory and grace in your life and mine? Lord, do that again. Do that again. Unfortunately, I'm afraid, we don't understand that as a church like God wants us to see it. Why? Well, just ask yourself this. Are you experiencing the glory of God, the grace of God, the power of God to overcome those things that are exciting you? Now, if you're not experiencing those things, where's the problem? Is it in God? Or is it maybe in our understanding? Or is it maybe in what we're looking to? Oh, I just can't. I try. Well, that's the big mistake right there. We have not given it over to the Lord. Do you think David said, I'll try to take down that giant, Lord. I'm going to try to do that for you. You think that's what David said? I think I'll try to do that. I'll try. Tell King Saul, I think I'll try that. Is that how David came to Saul? He'd have never made it. See, if we think we're going to do something, mark it down. You're not doing it.
Right.
Not for God. God brings you to this place to where, man, I know God can do it. I know God can do it. And then we will stand in awe. And then we'll get on our face before the Lord somewhere and say, God, do that again. Do that again. See, if we're not careful, we're looking for other people to do things for God. So that we can just settle on our lees and lose the savor and the taste God wants us to have in our own lives. Watch this. Verse 4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. And then he says, Selah. Meditate on that. Isn't that good? Stand in awe and sin not. Commune. God brings us to that place. If you're not doing that, guess what? You're not asking God to bring you to that place. God's not asking us to do that in our own power. And then look at verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of what? Righteousness. And then he tells you how to do it in case you wonder how to do that. Ready? Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Your righteousness or God's? It tells you right there. And put your trust in the Lord. Offer the sacrifices, plural, of righteousness. If there's no connection with the Lord, you're not offering any sacrifices of righteousness. I know that because that's what happens in my life. If I'm looking to myself. But I promise you, God will put a hunger in there. And not that you can't mess it up with the frailty of the flesh, if that's what we lean on. If we start looking to ourselves, we'll lose sight of God. Verse 6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Did you see that? Listen to that. Listen very carefully. There be many that say, who shall show us any good? Do they have any confidence? No. We don't see anything. I don't see anything. I don't see anything. I hear what I don't see anything. Well, how's it work? Ready? First place. Lord, if you don't see anything, where do you go? Lord, don't go, listen, don't go looking here and looking there. Call upon the Lord. Amen. Listen, Lord, listen to this. Lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. That's how we're going to see anything. There'll be many that say, who's going to show us any good? The Lord will. The Lord will. Listen, verse 7, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. In other words, what the world looks to. More than what they possess. More than what they see that's passing away. He says, you've given me more, Lord. Now, I want you to know something. There's nothing wrong with possessing wealth. Unless that's our God. There's nothing wrong unless that's what's motivating us. Job and Abraham were very wealthy. And Jacob became wealthy. And so did Joseph. And others, but that's not what moved them. See, they wanted to make sure that God was where they got their gladness from. You know, it's just like this. And this is a poor illustration because there's no comparison. I've experienced some earthly advancement, and I'm always glad of that, right? And I was just telling you, like the golfer, right, who golfs, and all of a sudden the coach says, just turn this and adjust this and hold your mouth just right. I don't know how it works. Boom, and hit it, and it goes flying the right way. I promise you they're going to say, I'm going to do that again. God blows that away. Because when we see God working, David was saying, man, you think David had an occasion to say, God is good. God is good. Question, do you think David's brother Eliab had an occasion to say, God is good? No, he did not. Because he did not open up the way for God to work in his life. Was he a child of God? Absolutely. He was of the stock of Israel. He was of the people of God. But no, there was many people, I would dare say, in that army that were shaking in their boots, that were in fear, that did not have God working in their life. That should not be the case for the child of God. Last verse. Listen to this. Let's put 7 and 8 together, all right? Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, listen, only makest me to dwell in safety. Amen. Listen. When David went out in Goliath, did he feel safe? He's not afraid. I promise you, if any one of us faced a 9-foot giant that was a soldier and a warrior from his youth, without God, we'd be shaking in our boots. Hey, does God want us to be afraid? Does God want us to be fearful? There's only one way that we won't be fearful, and that is if God is guiding our lives and we're following Him and not leaving Him behind. If we're going after Him and His way. See, if you're going to follow the Lord, you're following His way. That's what it means. We don't see God, but He's given to us the way in His Word. And if we'll say, okay, Lord, listen, you don't have to do anything more than this. I want to follow you. I need you to show me the way. Do you think he'll do it? And he's going to teach us some things. That when you go through difficulties, the Lord is still there and trials. And he's going to start giving you peace and he's going to start showing you things. But you have to really submit to his authority and honor him. That means we say, God, I trust you. That means even when it doesn't look right, I trust you. That means even if we become fearful, that's the faith part. Listen, when we follow the Lord, that does not mean that we don't have any difficulties or emotions. That does not mean that. That does not mean that I got a smile on my face all the time. That means when I go through a difficult time, I stop and I say, God, I trust you. This makes no sense to me. I didn't think you would do it this way, but I am reminded your way is always right. Amen. And you don't think like me. And so I'm going to trust you even when it doesn't make sense. Amen. You think I've ever had that happen in my life? More than once? I know we all have. But here's what the Lord wants us to know. Do we want to hear and do we want God to hear when we call on him? Then he says, follow me with salvation and then a life of trusting or having our faith in his promises. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, it's an opportunity for us to say, oh God, I am prone to wander. Guide me that I don't walk away from you or in the wrong direction. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the understanding that you bring to us. Open up our hearts and minds to receive your truth and to walk in them by your grace and power. Bless your people. And Lord, if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you open up their hearts and minds to understand and see the truth. Bless and we'll thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.